Thank you, and good morning. How are you? All well, I hope. We're in this series teaching into the God who breaks in. And we've particularly been dwelling in this story of Moses. And last week, Ed was talking about Moses meeting and talking to the burning bush. This is the next stage following on from that conversation. And I want to talk about the God or the divine human cooperative. The divine human cooperative. I wonder where and how you've seen God break into the world around you this week. Have you seen God break in at all? This series has really challenged me as to what it means to recognize God breaking in. It's made me realize that God breaks in so many different ways. There's the great dramatic, which the scriptures are filled with. God speaking through a burning bush. The plagues that are about to follow in this story. Noah and the great flood. And of course, Jesus, the ultimate breakthrough and his birth at Bethlehem. And of course, throughout history, God has been breaking in. I was being reminded the other day of that miracle in the change of the weather that allowed D-Day to happen. And that's really seen as a miracle breakthrough. But God breaks in through the normal, the everyday. The knowledge and experience of God's love so often comes through the people around us, through the ordinary. An encouraging smile from a stranger or a friend. A kind word that builds you up when you're feeling down and hopeless. An answer to prayer. The sun glittering off the snow on the hills. Or the hills were almost pink the other week with the sun coming up and shining upon the frost. It's a reflection of God's beauty and creation, God breaking into my world at that moment. I have never seen so many snowdrops. They're beautiful at the moment. And the daffodils are breaking through. Spring is showing its signs. And again, it's a sign of God's life and hope and beauty after the cold and emptiness of the winter. And this morning, we've just had Eucharist together. I wonder how God spoke to you or broke into you at that moment. The Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, however you phrase it, is the most extraordinary thing. We gather around a table and we join an unbroken chain that goes back to when Jesus broke bread and shared the wine with his disciples. That's one part of the nugget of what we do when we have Eucharist together. God is breaking in everywhere around us, in the ordinary and the extraordinary, if we dare to recognize it. And here's my challenge at the end of my talk. I'd love to hear some testimonies of how God has broken in. Testimonies are so important to encourage one another. And so just as I share this word this morning, just ask the Lord, where did you break in this week that I might be able to share? And perhaps there are three or four testimonies we can share at the end. But this morning, as I mentioned, I want to talk about this divine human cooperative. I want to talk about how God normally breaks into the world. It's not the only way he breaks into the world, but it seems to be that actually as we look at history, as we read the scriptures, God normally breaks in through, as I said, what someone I heard describe as the divine human cooperative. He uses you and me. He uses, for whatever reason, because we are not the best things that he could send us out into the world, are we? Broken, fallen, fearful. But he does choose to use you and me. He uses people. I was reminded, thinking about it, of Isaiah 6 and his great commission. God sits there and says, "Who shall I send?" And of course, Isaiah is saying, "Me, me, send me." It's consistent throughout Scripture. In this particular Scripture story this morning, it was Moses who has been sent. But it was could have been Abraham, the father of a holy nation, Noah, who built an ark. It could have been Saul or David or any number of prophets and judges. And of course, the most obvious example of this divine human cooperative is Jesus himself, who was fully human and fully God. That perfection of that cooperative. And of course, what did Jesus do? Jesus sent the disciples out to heal the sick and share the good news and go to all nations. Even Jesus used you and me to do that. Of course, it's God's power in us, but we are his agents in the world. St. Paul calls us ambassadors of Christ. And you and I may never live or be aware of when God uses us to break in and resulting in the shifting of some extraordinary cosmic tectonic plates within the spiritual realms, though we may be part of that, but unaware of it. But what we are can be is agents that break into individual lives, break into the local communities and bring God's love and blessing. I was reminded this week of the people who invited me to go to church when I was 22. Turn my life upside down. Who was the person that invited you to church? Do you think they might have been brave, courageous to sort of, ooh, I'll see if Peter wants to come. I was also, God's often talked to me about eagles through my life. And there was one occasion where I was really, we flew over to America to a conference. And I was really struggling in all sorts of ways. But the eagle had been just an encouraging word and picture that the Lord had spoken to. I remember sitting on the aeroplane saying, God, if this really is of you, if you're really in this, would you speak to me using this imagery of the eagle? And so we were at this conference, and then we were split into groups, and it was just teaching about the prophetic and speaking encouraging words. And there were about 15 of us in this circle, and there was a chair in the middle. And the leader sort of said, okay, well, we'd just love someone to practice, safe place. So would someone like to sit in the chair in the middle? And we're going to ask the Lord for some words. Well, I was going to have it all. So I said, yep, that's me. I wasn't going to do any of this Christian niceness. I was straight into that chair. And everybody then sat in silence for a moment, and just said, okay, Lord, is there a word for Peter? And after that, there was a middle-aged gentleman who was from Texas, and he said, this is all a bit weird for me. This is not anything I've done before. I don't listen to the Lord. I'm all a bit uncomfortable. But I've got this picture, and all I can say is this. Get me now. It's this amazing picture of this huge eagle. And it's just a majestic eagle. Well, I was done for the rest of the week. I didn't need anything else for the rest of the week. God had just spoken straight into that one. Through that person, through a simple word, it absolutely rocked my world. And that's you and I being agents of God's break-in to one another. When did you last share a word of encouragement to someone else? Here, in the workplace, at home, ask the Lord, what can I say to that person to encourage them? Let's go back to this passage. What is the nature of this relationship, this divine human cooperative? Well, there are three parties generally. There's God doing his stuff in the most magnificent way. There is the recipient, the person who God wants to break into. And of course, then there's the agent. There's the you and me. And in this story, God is God doing his thing. The recipient, the third party, is the nation of Israel, those in slavery. That's where Jesus or God wants to get to break them free. And of course, Moses is the agent of change here. I mean, just very briefly on those three, I'm going to focus on Moses in a moment. But Israel, all of us, of course, other that can be the recipient in this this play, for want of a better phrase. Of course, on a daily basis, we can be the recipient of God wanting to break in, to encourage you and to speak to you and I. And I'm not going to say any more about that. The second protagonist, for want of a better phrase, in this play is, of course, God. And I just want to highlight four things about God. And again, I won't dwell massively on it. But the Lord said, I have seen, I have heard, I am concerned. And as a result, I have come down. God is listening. God is hearing. God's nature is compassion and caring. He is concerned about what is going on in the world. And because he's concerned, he acts. Throughout history, he sends agents of change. The ultimate agent, of course, was Jesus. But he sends then you and I. And he works. God is not a passive player in the world. He's not up in some ethereal heaven, being passively watching, saying, oh my goodness, they got it wrong again. Oh, it's all gone wrong. No, he is active and pursuing us as someone who loves us and loves his creation. He is acting and he's breaking in constantly. So God sees, he hears. He sees where you're at. He hears your prayers. Don't ever hold back on your prayers. Whether they're ones of anxiety and lament, or whether they're ones of joys and thanksgiving, constantly call your prayers up to heaven. He is hearing. He is compassionate. He is concerned for you right now, today. But the big player that is you and I echoing is, of course, Moses. We are the agents of change. And there are four things that I want us to particularly take away from this morning about the part that Moses plays. The first thing is Moses listens. Moses could have, oh yeah, burning bush, funny old thing, and off he goes. But no, he's distracted. He goes and explores, and more to point, he then listens. Are you listening? Are you alert and attuned to the stirring of the Spirit on a daily basis? Jesus said, I do nothing except what my Father tells me. Jesus did nothing except what his Father tells. Well, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Each day we need to be asking, okay, Lord, what does today look like? Are we attuned to what the Lord is leading us and saying to us on a daily basis? Or, totally understandably, we're all guilty. We're just totally immersed into our own worlds and our business of survival or our own agendas or whatever it may be. And how do we listen? Is it that prompting, that stirring in our spirit? Is it an audible voice? I'm not conscious of ever hearing an audible voice, but I'm sure there are people here who've heard audible voices. I know people who have God's voice telling us. But normally it's a stirring deep in here. I'm always really challenged whenever I see homeless people. I don't know what your reaction is to when you see homeless people, but I'm always deeply challenged. What is my Christian response? And can I save everybody? The answer is no. But what can I do? But there are times when I get a particular sense of stirring to do something. And sometimes I listen to that, and to my shame, sometimes I don't. There was some years ago, I passed a homeless person, and I just got that stirring, and I thought, do you know, I've got time. So often the time, isn't it? We're just racing to one thing or another. But at that time, I had plenty of space and time. And I said, oh, I'll just go and buy him a sandwich and coffee. So off I did and did that. Fascinating. 2 days later, I bumped into someone who it was a conference I was on. And this chap was not a Christian. He said, I saw you do what you did, you know, go and buy food. Gosh, that really struck me. Well, I didn't think it was anything big. In fact, most of the time I should be doing it a lot more. But for him, that was suddenly a break-in moment. He was really struck by that. But there are other times, quite frankly, I'm busy, I'm heading, I'm going, and I haven't stopped. I haven't responded. 18 months ago, there's a lot of homeless in Bristol. And I was cycling from the station back up to college. It was a Sunday night. It was freezing. Woolly hat on, gloves, all wrapped up in my coat, on my bike, going up the hills. There was this young homeless chap. And I just that little prompting, gosh, I bet he's cold. Well, why not give him your coat or your gloves or your hat? Nope, I'm off. I'm almost up the top of the hill, almost back to college, 9:30. But wonderfully, the Lord kept, and I turned around and gave him my hat and my gloves. That's where those meant. That's why I lost them. But do we recognize that stirring? Are we attuned to it? We need to be, because God's asking us to break in on his behalf. So Moses listened. That was the first one. Secondly, Moses turned around and said, who am I? Who am I? Why are you talking to me? Why are you calling me? Good question. He was an old man. He was a shepherd. Let's not forget he was a murderer. There he was in the wilderness on his own, looking after, I think, his father-in-law's sheep. They weren't even his. He was not a man of power. He was not a man of resources. He was not a man of influence. Limited experience. Yes. Who was he for God to break in and send back to Egypt? But don't we see that throughout the whole of Scripture? God does pick some pretty strange people to go about doing his work. Think of King David. He was a murderer and adulterer. So it's quite reasonable that we sit there and say, gosh, who am I, Lord, to go and do your word? I think of it all the time. Don't you feel, who am I to go and talk to that person? What am I going to say? Oh, I might embarrass myself. Oh, gosh, there's fear. There's inadequacy. We feel ill-equipped. We might feel overwhelmed, a bit embarrassed or ashamed. Or quite simply, we just feel selfish because actually I've got my own agenda and I don't want to get involved. So often it's, I haven't got the time. The Lord uses some pretty strange people to do his work. And do you know what? He's calling you and me. And we're a pretty strange bunch, aren't we? Broken, lost. I mean, who am I? And do you know what? That's brilliant because it's not us. We've got to rely on God. And it's God doing it, not us. And let's be honest, poor Moses, he's sitting there saying, gosh, there's a bush talking to me and sending me back to Egypt to take out the nation of Israel. Am I just eat bad pizza last night or what? Is this for real? And don't we often feel that way? It's a bit like Moses going to Egypt. It's about like you or I being sent off to Brussels to sort out Brexit. I mean, really? Are we going to manage to do that? No. But God can. And that's the point. It's not the you and I. We don't have the skills to convert that person. We don't have the skills to or the resources to bring someone into the kingdom or change the world. But God does. He just needs us sometimes to be obedient, to speak and release the power of God into the world. And when Moses turns around and says, who am I? What's God's response? God's response, he says two things. I'll be with you, and this will be a sign, your worship on this mountain. I will be with you, this will be the sign. Now, I don't know whether we'll always get a sign, but we can absolutely be guaranteed that God is with us. God is, if he is sending us, he's not sitting back and saying, oh, going to watch this one, this will be a disaster, or whatever. He's not sending us out to fail. He's not sending us out to see what will happen. The thing about the second promise, this will be the sign, it's always fascinating. God turns around and says, this will be the sign. I.e., it's guaranteed right now, this is what's going to happen, and this will be the sign, your worship on this mountain. So there's no doubt in God's mind that what he has planned will come to fruition. Moses just needs to be obedient. And if Moses isn't, there's a fair chance that God will go and find someone else. And that's the same with us. If God is calling us to act, then he's right with us. It's a done deal at that moment. We just need to get over ourselves, our own fear, our own sense of inadequacy, and be obedient and faithful. He's not setting us up to fail. He wants us to succeed. And of course, it's not about success or failure. What it's all about is a display of God's love to someone else and the world. In simple terms, God is just inviting us to partner with him. For whatever reason, God just prefers to do these things in partnership with us. He could do it, but he likes to do it. And that's the good news, that Jesus, or God and Jesus, is with us. And what's Moses' response to these two promises? It's obedience and faithfulness. Obedience and faithfulness. Now, we know that obedience is not a great valued or a welcomed value, let's put it that way, into today's society. But actually, in Scripture, obedience is right in the heart of Scripture. And the consequences, i.e. rebellion, is right in the heart of Scripture. How are we doing with our obedience to when God speaks to us? Are we listening? And when we're listening, how do we respond? And of course, it's not often that loud noise. It's the response and the obedience to the quiet, still voice that stirs deep within us, knowing that actually that's what God is calling us to do. Imagine what Moses' journey back to Egypt must have been like. Do you think he strode confidently? I'm the murderer. I'm going back to the scene of the crime. I'm 80. I've got all these resources. Stridently heading back, I'm going to lead the slaves of Israel out of Egypt. I just have a sneaking suspicion that the reality was thinking, what am I doing? What? This is going to go so horribly wrong. And yet he was faithful and obedient to God's calling and instruction. So, and I'm going to ask for your participation in a moment with testimonies of where you've seen God break in this week. But God has this thing. He wants to be a divine human cooperative to break into this world. And that's you and I. So the question is, are we listening? How might we listen every day and be stirred and be alert to what the Lord is saying to us? Are we going to be recognized, yes, who we are, who am I, but get over that, and actually knowing, well, actually it's the glorious nature of God that will break through. It's not me that's got to have it all together. And then, are we going to be obedient and faithful as Moses was and so many of the other heroes? I mean, think about being Noah and building a boat, an ark, when there's no rain. Can think of the mockery that he must have experienced as he built the ark, just to go off on a slight tangent. Isn't it the same with us? Saying, you're mad. What are you doing? Why do you do that? But are we going to be obedient and know the character of God and be confident? And that's the good news in all of this, that God promises to be with us throughout. God has set up this divine human cooperative. God has chosen ultimately to operate in this world through you and through me. And that's really incredibly exciting. So what might that look like going into this coming week for you and for me? How might we be an agent for God's kingdom in this coming week ahead of us, in our front lines, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in the places around us? Let me leave that hanging whilst I... Can I use this mic? Will this mic work? Yes. I'm probably going to have to switch it on or something. So, just short, sharp, doesn't have to be great, dramatic. But has anybody liked to share where they've seen God break in? Yes, love it. Firsthand. Testimonies are so important to encourage one another in the little and the big. Brilliant. Brilliant. There we go. Probably.
Ah, there you go. On off button.
There we go.
Classic.
Right, who else?
We had a great youth meeting on Friday, and just to say, by the way, we are so lucky. I am the oldest youth leader now because we've got some fantastic younger youth leaders. They call me the older generation. But that's not what I stood up for. But we prayed, we talked by name about a number of teenagers who we hadn't seen for a week or two, and then we prayed at the end, and four of them are here today. I just can't believe it.
Fantastic. Thank you, Simon. Margaret. Thank you.
Well, earlier in the week, I think God's turned my prayer life upside down. We've had a very difficult situation in the family for a few years, and obviously, we've been praying like mad. And I was praying earlier in the week, and God said, yeah, I hear you, but I want you to start doing something different. And it was something I've never been told or never thought about before. And he said, I want you to start praising me as though the thing you're praying for has already been done. And so I did. And the peace that just washed over me was just something else. And I felt God was saying, it is done. And then he said, it is finished, which just blew my mind, because we all know where it is finished comes from. And, I wait for the next instalment, really.
Fantastic. Thank you. That's wonderful.
Thank you. Just a very simple thing. I was just thinking about a sermon I've got to give in a few weeks, and a verse came into my mind, and I thought, oh, just like Peter was saying, I wonder if God's saying something about that. And then this very morning, that verse was in my daily reading, and that was a real encouragement to me.
Callum, our grandson, age 6, came up for his first blessing at the communion rail this morning.
Oh, fantastic.
I'll try and share this really quickly. It's Eddie's story, really, in many ways, which we shared at PCC a couple of weeks ago. But a few weeks ago, on a Sunday morning, 9:30, well, we were having the 9 o'clock service here. Eddie was phoned, they'd picked up the number from the website, from a student at Abbey College, which is their language college up in Malvern Wells, by a girl who said, I'm a Muslim, but I want to find out more about Jesus, basically. And can I come to church? Am I allowed to? Which Eddie said, yeah, great, absolutely. And she ended up going up to All Saints that morning. To cut a long story short, she brought a friend. She just, we chatted to her after the service and we said, what country are you from? She said, I'm from Iran. Well, if you know up at All Saints, we have Paul and Diana Hunt who used to work in Iran. And we said, Diana, come over here. And Diana then went into a long conversation in Farsi with them. Just as we were sitting there thinking, oh, don't know what's going on, what's being said. But you just think, out of all the churches in Malvern, God took her to a church where people spoke her language. Last week, they brought another friend. And today, at lunchtime, Eddie and the three of them and Paul and Diana Hunt are all having lunch. And I would love you to pray for that lunch. And just pray that God would show us what it means to just continue on that journey. He is so clearly at work, but chose to use us, but had that plan sorted to just know where to send them.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And one more.
I think most of you know, Hanny and I run a brewery. And at the moment we're between salespeople, which is really hard going, because neither Hanny or I enjoy selling at all. It's our worst nightmare, actually. I go to a life group on a Monday evening, and I shared at life group on Monday that this week I was going to have to be doing most of the sales and how I was dreading it. And as you can imagine, trying to sell beer in January is the hardest thing to do as well. So January's been tough, and the life group are incredible. If you're not a member of a life group, I would absolutely recommend you join one because it's the best thing. So what they said was, well, look, every morning, just send us a message on our group of what you're doing and we'll pray for you. And basically this, we've already got a full van of beer going out on Wednesday next week. And Thursday's van has already got some beer ready for it as well. So, life groups are fantastic, and having the support of the people to pray with you is really, I would recommend it if you're not a member.
Thank you, Sarah. Yeah, that van's coming to my house. Thank you, all of you, who've been brave enough to share, because I bet there are many, many more, and actually many more than we even know, because we sometimes don't recognise where God's broken in. So just as I draw that together, let us pray, and let's Lord, thank you for not only the story of Moses and his faithfulness, but each of those testimonies that we've heard this morning. Thank you, Lord, for where you are breaking in. Thank you for where we recognize it and therefore can be encouraged. We thank you, Lord, that through those things we both receive and recognize your love. And once again, I just want to say that God's saying to you this morning, he loves you. He sees your life. He hears your prayers. He is concerned for you. And he's there to act by breaking in. So Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're still desiring to break in. Help us to have ears to hear you, and hearts to recognize that still, quiet voice. Help us this week, Lord, and in the coming weeks, to be more attuned into you. And to know that if you're asking something of us, you're right in the midst of it. and that we need to just step beyond our fear, step beyond our uncertainty, step beyond our insignificance, step beyond our sense of who am I, and be faithfully obedient. And you'll do everything else. And if we get it wrong occasionally, do you know what? That's okay. What can be the worst that can happen? We feel a little bit foolish. Well, guess what? We're all broken, we're all foolish, and we're all going to disappoint and get it wrong at times. But the wonderful thing is, Lord, you're there to pick up the pieces. So, Lord, thank you for your love. And thank you, Lord, that you're the God who breaks in. Amen.